Hello, everyone, and welcome to the first episode of WMBC's Monsters and Mysteries. To start off the episode, I'm going to give you a quick introduction to our show and what's it all about. So during this podcast, we're going to talk about things like urban legends, ghost stories, cryptids, anything creepy and spooky. The theme for today's episode is Maryland Myths. We thought that'd be appropriate for our first episode. So how's it going to work? We're going to present three different stories, each of the hosts here, and then between each one, we're going to discuss it. A disclaimer, though, you know, none of us are experts on these topics. We're just fascinated in the topics, much like you listeners. Before we start, we're just going to do a little introductions. My name is Becca Richardson. I'm a graphic design major here at UBC. I'm a senior this year, and I am a big fan of horror and the occult, so I'm excited to do this podcast for you guys.
Hi guys, I'm also a graphic design major. My name's not Becca Richardson. I'm Tawa Biwa. I'm a senior here at UMBC. And that's honestly all you need now.
I'm Veronica Cardosa. I'm a math major, not graphic design, unfortunately. Okay. I've always been a rootin' tootin' spooky dookie girl, so I'm real excited for this.
Yes.
So I'm going to get us started with our first tale. So here we go. I think we can all agree that one of the scariest places to be is a cemetery. With good reason, too. It's a place of death. While it may look fine during the day, even beautiful, honestly, but at night it can transform into a nightmare hellscape. While cemeteries are a place of death, people tend not to die there. However, that is not the case when it comes to Black Aggie. During the 50s and 60s, in Druid Ridge Cemetery in Baltimore, came the legend of Black Aggie. Black Aggie is a statue of a draped, melancholy, and mysterious woman seated at the Angus family plot in south-facing side of the cemetery in Pikesville. The gray plot belongs to General Felix Angus. Angus led a full life. Born in France in 1983, and in 1960, Angus came to America with his mother and sister, settling down in Newport, Rhode Island. He later moved on to New York City, where he worked for famed Tiffany & Company as a sculptor and silver chaser. Felix's involvement in the war didn't end in Italy. He enlisted as a private during the American Civil War and was quickly promoted to lieutenant after he helped save the life of his captain. Angus was severely wounded at the Battle of Gaines Mill and was sent back to Baltimore to recover, taken care of by Charles Fulton's daughter, Annie. By the end of the war, Angus had been promoted to Brigadier General and carried many wounds on his body. He was often quoted as saying, "Shot 13 times, always in the thorn." As fate would have it, Angus married his caretaker, Annie, and made Baltimore his home. He purchased a family plot in Druid Ridge Cemetery to ensure that he and his family were buried together. Around the same time, a sculptor named Edward Push created Black Aggie, which is a copy of the statue Grief, which stood in Rock Creek Cemetery in the memory of Marine Clover Adams, who took her own life by drinking photography chemicals. Angus purchased the copy of Grief and had it placed at his family plot in Druid Ridge to watch over himself, his wife, and his mother, who were all buried on the plot. Black Aggie was installed at the cemetery in 1926 and has been surrounded by countless urban legends since then. So here's how the story kind of goes. They say that the statue was haunted by a spirit of a mistreated wife who lay beneath her feet. Others say that there's a witch buried there. The statue's eyes would glow red at the stroke of midnight, and any living person who returned the statue's gaze would instantly be struck blind. Any pregnant woman who passed her shadow would miscarry. If you sat in her lap at night, the statue would come to life and crush you to death in her embrace. If you spoke Black Aggie's name three times at midnight in front of a dark mirror, the evil angel would appear and pull you down to hell. They also said that the spirits of the dead would rise from their graves on dark nights to gather around the statue. According to legend, a local fraternity decided to make the Statue of Grief part of their initiation rites, called Black Aggie Sittings, where the candidates of the membership would spend the night crouched in the statue. Now, one night, two fraternity members, accompanied by a pledge, watched as he took place under the creepy statue. The clouds had been obscured that night, and the whole area surrounding the dark statue had been filled with a sense of anger and malice. It felt as if a storm was brewing in that part of the cemetery, and as to their chagrin, the two fraternity members noticed that the gray shadows seemed to be clustering around the body of the frightened fraternity candidate. What had been funny initiation suddenly turned into an air of danger. One fraternity brother stepped forward in alarm to call out to the initiate. As he did, the statue above the boy stirred ominously. The two fraternity brothers froze in shock as the shrouded head turned towards the new candidate. They seemed to gleam with a glowing red from the concealing hood. The statue's arms reach out towards the cowering boy. With shouts of alarm, the fraternity brothers leap forward to rescue the new initiate, but it was too late. The initiate gave one horrifying yell as his body disappeared into the embrace of Black Aggie. The fraternity brothers skidded to a halt as the statue thoughtfully rested its glowing eyes upon them. With gasps of terror, the boys fled from the cemetery before the statue could grab them. Hearing the screams, a night watchman hurried to the Angus plot. To his chagrin, he discovered the body of a young boy laying at the foot of the statue. The young man had apparently died of fright. Unfortunately, because of all these legends, the plot has received a lot of unwanted attention. People breaking into the cemetery at night, ghost hunters, and even vandalization. Because of this, the statue was moved to a courtyard behind Dolly Madison House on Lafayette Square in Washington, D.C., where she currently rests. The only part of the statue that still remains at Druid Ridge is the pedestal. So you can go see Black Aggie still, but you're probably not going to be able to break into there at night because they used to not have a lot of security at the cemetery, but at Dolly Madison House, they're definitely going to have a lot of security. So what do we think of this one?
I think when there's a will, there's a way. We're getting in there.
I'm struggling with the fact that she's an evil angel. That seems like a very... I mean, I'm not trying to put labels on people. Is that not making you a demon?
If you think about it, the devil is an angel.
That's true. But it's like... Look, I'm just saying, if I... if I saw, like, a band of demons, and then one of them said, I'm not a demon, I'm an evil angel, I'd be like, okay, come on, man. I mean... You know, do your thing, but it is what it is. I also thought, okay, I Googled something.
Okay. There's a lot of different versions of each tale. I just chose the one that seemed to be the most common. Some of them say that it wasn't even a fraternity. It was just a group of friends, and one guy slept in, like, the arms, and they found him dead the next day. See, there's a bunch of different stories. My biggest question is how it came to be. Like, why people were, like, yeah, that thing's haunted. And then people were like, oh, yeah, you know, I saw its eyes glowing red.
I've heard that it also cries blood. Not cries blood, cries black.
I heard, like, the cry thing, too.
But that's, like, real, because isn't it, like, the iron? I don't know.
Yeah, if you see the statue from the rain, you can see that there's definitely, like, streaks. But that's not uncommon for statues.
Yeah, there's a lot of Virgin Mary statues that do that, isn't there?
But yeah, it's just... it's just science. That's just science. Because especially the way the hood is, it would cause it to streak that way. It does look, like, I don't know if you did see what it looks like. It's very ominous. I recommend you search it out.
Yeah, one look and you know that thing is not haunted.
Well, what's interesting is that it's a copy of another statue.
Yeah.
And I forget, I actually didn't search up to see if the other statue was set, like, haunted.
It's, yeah, haunted.
Deleted user asked, have you drank photochemicals? Not deliberately, of course, but you know what I mean. You're agitating a tank, you have 50 seconds to pour a beer. Next minute, you have 50 seconds to mix stop bath. Next minute, you have 50 seconds to deliver a text message. In 5 minutes, you're into 10-minute developer time and various tasks, and you get confused and lift the soft bath and your lips, and you realize, that's not my beer. Am I in trouble, guys? Anyone?
Yahoo ask, am I going to die?
This person said that soft bath is chemically not very far from vinegar. I'm not going to advertise whether you should be drinking photography chemicals, but keep those things separate. is my recommendation. This person deleted their account, so I feel like they were alive after.
Yeah.
It looks like they actually, now that I'm looking at the statue currently where it rests, looks like they might have revamped it a little bit, so now she's not as... she's not green anymore.
Oh. Boo.
She's definitely back to her original color, which is sort of that dark brown bronze. Strong bronze. She's definitely creepy. I feel like it's a very unique story because you usually hear a lot of ghost stories here in Maryland, but I think this is a good one.
Yeah, especially one that's pretty well known. I mean, both of my parents knew about this one and they're like, oh yeah, we heard that story when we were kids. You know, you'd always like try to go to the cemetery, but they were stupid. Don't be like my parents.
Well, again, like, so during that time, like, especially the 50s and 60s, they didn't have a lot of security at cemeteries. Like, that was not a big thing. Obviously, nowadays, that's not the case. That's a huge... Well, I guess it depends. Like, if you're rural, there's not going to be security. But if you're in, like, a city, like Baltimore, there's going to be security.
I mean, in this area, you can't even make a Frankenstein anymore. That was, like, way back when, where you could just go up in a cemetery and make yourself a Frankenstein.
What, you make it sound like a lot of people were making Frankenstein?
I'm just saying, if there was an era to do it, it certainly passed. You can't make a Frankenstein. There's for sure so many barriers to make a Frankenstein.
I think you could probably still make a Frankenstein.
You have to be, like, you have to go get a PhD if you want to make a Frankenstein.
Yeah, be a doctor first. Yeah. Why did you get your doctorate? Just out of curiosity. Oh, I want to make Frankenstein.
Are we using these bodies?
Do you guys need these?
Is this these free?
Zoink? Yeah, work as like a mortician or someone who works in the morgue.
Yeah.
And then just, where'd this body go? You know? I swear these things get up and walk off on their own.
I don't know, it's crazy. I see it all the time. All right.
I think we're ready to move on to our next story.
Alright. The year is 1742. You're coercing your flock of unruly hens into their coop with a bit of feed and your kerosene lamp. After securing the fence, you begin to walk back to your humble farm home. The overcast above has robbed you of moonlight. Under the dark sky, there is only you, the crunching of grass beneath your boots, and the rustling of chickens growing ever distant in the background, along with the warm glow of your lantern. And then you hear it, a blaring train whistle. You begin to grow concerned. Now, it wasn't uncommon for a train's horn to propagate for several miles, but that's not what concerned you. It was the fact that it was growing louder and louder. Just as the blaring becomes near deafening, you realize it's coming from the woods. No, from above. Struggling to protect your ears and balancing the only light you have, you quickly swing around to find that your hens have escaped. Just as you extend your light, hurrying to regather them, you see it, descending from the skies, a predator, an utter horror. You release your trusted lantern and as it nabs your chickens. The fallen lamp illuminates the iron talons, clenching your livestock into a bundle. A gust of its giant wings throws you to the ground. The beast becomes a dark blob as it flees into the abyss of the black night sky. You're not sure what you saw, and your blurring vision isn't helping. In the morning, you find the Snallygaster has made out with 12 of your chickens. So, despite its name, the Snallygaster is a ferocious beast. It's more of an amalgamation of a lot of beasts, a chimera. Many describe it as a fearsome dragon-like creature. Accounts from the 18th century describe it as like a half bird, half reptile, with both metallic beak and razor sharp teeth. I'm not sure how that works, but the earliest reports dating back as far as the 1730s refer to it as a half siren monstrous combined with the nightmare's features of a demon and a ghoul. So it's kind of just whatever. Apparently, what you really need to watch out for is that it has the ability to fly, obviously. It can suck your blood, just like slurp it all out through you. It makes this screeching locomotive sound, and apparently it shapeshifts, so anyone could be a Snallygaster, both creature and to other humans. It's also described as a gorilla. Some accounts of Some of the sightings have reported as a gorilla-like creature just roaming through the woods. So if you ever see something and it's kind of scary, just assume it's the Snallygaster. So the origin. Snallygasters are located right here in Maryland. They've been sighted in specifically Frederick County and also Central Maryland. And the DC people are also trying to appropriate our monster from
Yo! Hop off!
Its name is believed to derive from a German word, Snallygeist, which means quick spirit. So also it's a ghost at the same, it's sort of everything. It's every monster. But according to legend, the Snallygaster is said to have originated from German folklore, specifically from the Rhineland region of Germany. German immigrants who settled in Maryland in the 1700s brought them the tale of the monster. And the creature is, at least back then, it was known as a winged beast that terrorized the countryside and preyed on livestock and humans as well. So, over time, the Snallygeist evolved into other local folklore, resulting in the creation of the Snallygaster. And pretty much all references of it disappeared in the 19th century, and it sort of just faded away as a local myth. Pretty much only vaguely referenced in our small section of the nation, and occasionally also brought up for more asshole-ish reasons, because just to scare newly freed slaves as a way to also deter them from running off before the abolition of slavery.
Oh, God.
But 20th century, people are going crazy for the Snallygaster. The year is 1909. Residents in the Middletown area of Frederick County, Maryland, began reporting sights of the Snallygaster again, and this time the creature was said to emit deafening locomotive noise. As reported, it having tentacles emerging from its mouth. Some illustrations show it as having tentacles on its back, but obviously, they're not real fans. It comes from the mouth. And it uses those tentacles to capture its prey. The panic specifically was fueled by Thomas C. Hairbog of Cass-town, Ohio. He wrote in the Middletown Valley Register claiming to see a giant beast with a horn-filled head and 20-foot-long tail screeching horrendously and heading his way. Despite the absurdity of writing a newspaper to ward off the monster, the extensive media coverage of these sightings caused a small panic across the country, and even the Smithsonian offered $100,000 for a reward to capture the creature. And it caused so much of a stir that President Teddy Roosevelt, who was known for his love of hunting, heard of it, and upon learning of its existence, of this massive blood-sucking beast, he went straight for it and planned his hunting exhibition to say, he said, and I quote, "Maybe I should kill this thing." And the Smithsonian also planned to send out their own hunting expedition to pursue it, but neither of them followed through with their plans. Teddy Roosevelt went to Africa instead to go kill more elephants and rhinos. But to conclude, the whole thing was actually believed to be a hoax to sell more newspapers during the 20th century. Apparently, along with... So the whole locomotive screeching sound also appeared around that time. It was believed to just be an add-on to its abilities, so moonshiners could have an excuse to what was going on in the mountains when they were exploding sills and keeping revenue agents away. So, I mean, if you're making moonshine, just say, "Oh no, Snallygaster."
I was wondering about the train thing, because I was like, does that mean that people in the 1700s knew what trains sounded like before they ever knew what trains were?
I thought the modern reason was that since it's like a bird creature, because birds are really good at
making sounds,
recreating sounds. I thought that's what that
meant. It's not just a bird. Do you see? You're limiting it.
Okay, so apparently it's a gorilla. Why is it a skinwalker?
The gorilla thing also came up when I was researching the Dwayo, which is the enemy of the Snallygaster, which people also think is a Snallygaster. Yes. So I think, you know, she said
the Dwayo thing. The Snallygaster's girl. Now they're just
the gorilla.
But does that imply, are there multiple Snallygasters or is there just one?
I think there's one. It just keeps evolving. It adapts. Maybe that's the shape-shifting aspect.
Okay.
People think it can do it instantly, but, you know, people see it as like, time. I gotta, you know.
It just got, maybe it's got heightened evolution airy abilities. Wow. It can just.
Maybe it's not a monster. I mean, it did kill people and eat them, so.
I mean, boys gotta eat.
And animals do that too. It's just a beast.
It's just the law of nature.
It is, by definition, a beast. There has never been such thing more of a beast than the Snallygaster.
I will say, why the name, the Snallygaster?
It's German.
It's German.
Yeah, but what does that mean again?
It's a quick ghost? Quick spirit?
Quick spirit? Yeah. Quick spirit.
It's also a ghost.
I feel like
it's a ghost and a vampire. Hi, this is my OC, the Snallygaster. It has all the abilities, and it's a ghost, and it's a spirit, and it can fly.
Raven Darkness Dementia Way.
It's got wings. It's got, like, holographic wings. It's better than yours.
If you see someone from out of state, and they're like, oh, yeah, we got the best cryptids in fucking California. Like, actually, no, because this, like, oh, it's got claws. Fuck that. Yeah, the Snallygaster has that. Just start tacking on stuff to, because, you know, that's the real history. That's the real tradition. Every March 10th, we just think of a cool creature feature and we just tack it on the Snallygaster.
I mean, that makes sense. Maybe all cryptids are just the Snallygaster, just in different locations.
There's only one cryptid.
No. It's like there are multiple Snallygasters, but because of the area that they're in, they had to adapt a certain way. So, like, Skinwalkers, that's just the Snallygaster. He's just having a good time.
It's like different Pokemon evolutions.
Exactly.
Like Eevee.
He does kind of look like a Pokemon. Like, the bird version looks like a Pokemon. That's true. If you ever look up.
Bird form. The Snallygaster.
Oh, what's that thing called Monument Mythos? Where it's like the Flesh Pit National Park and all that stuff?
Yeah,
I feel like in the universe where Roosevelt did kill the Snallygaster is the same one. That's the Flesh Pit National Park and all that.
Roosevelt definitely would have visited
the Flesh Pit. You would have taxidermied that.
Absolutely. Yeah, there would be like, that honestly would be on our flag probably. The Snallygaster.
You would be like, this is one of our great national parks.
I need to kill that.
Here's the thing, with the Flesh Pit, why? I would never want to go to that. I have no appeal to go to that. Are you kidding me?
I feel like you're the one who introduced me to
the
all
Flesh
that.
Pit, so it's a made up historical.
Yeah, it's like,
wait, is that the
you know, there's like deep lores? Yeah, Monument Mythos, isn't that what it's
with
called?
With the trees?
Yeah,
I was too scared of the trees. Stuff.
There's a fake website.
Yeah, it's
for,
like all, you know, it's like SCP style stuff where it's like deep lore.
Essentially, the Flesh Pit is actually like a giant organism.
Maybe it's a Snallygaster.
Maybe it is a Snallygaster. It just went underground, and now it's just like a giant thing. But yeah, and that one is like a national park that people visit.
Maybe we'll do an episode on
going to the Flesh Pit
of our favorite Monument Mythos or SCP.
That'd be a good one.
If requested,
I'm scared of special trees. No, I don't want to think about this.
You don't have to do the tree. So you can do it.
If you guys want to hear that, make sure you tell us because.
That would definitely be a fun one.
Or we'll just do it on our own because we want to.
We run out of ideas.
All right. I'm going to pass off to Veronica.
All right.
Okay, so my fans of the Blair Witch Project out there will know exactly what I'm about to be talking about, but you won't because I'm adding in some special secret details that I found through hours of internet research. So unless you're like a hyper fan, then maybe you do know it. But hey. Not all of us are hyper fans. So I'm going to start off with the history of Burkittsville, Maryland. It is a town in southwestern Frederick County. In the year 2020, it had a population of 142 people. It is a very, very large, bustling metropolis, as you can tell. It was an English settlement in the early 1700s, which is interesting because it's usually German in Maryland. I know Manchester, where we're from, was a German settlement.
People? Yeah, where are the English people?
No, we're the Germans.
No, I said, where are?
Oh, where are the English people?
Everywhere.
Apparently, southwestern Frederick County.
Okay.
But also, not Frederick County, because Snallygaster was a German thing. I don't know. Maybe Burkittsville, they were outcasts.
Really
yeah, maybe they're lying about being English. But it was The first, like, land tract that was actually, like, in modern-day Burkittsville was bought in 1741, so it's a pretty early town, and it was named after Henry Burkett in 1828. He also had a friend who established it, but after the friend died, he named the town after himself, which was not very cool. Wow. The friend had established the post office. I don't remember his name, but he had
named the post office.
Yes. And then as soon as the friend died, he was like, well, this is my town now. There's no room for the two of us. But one of the major historical points of Burkittsville was during the Civil War. It was the location of the Battle of Grampton's Gap in 1862, which was the prelude to Antietam, which, those who do not know, was the bloodiest day in American history with over 22,000 casualties. That is insane. Any of you have not been there, please go, and we may also do a little episode.
I have been there.
On Antietam, yeah.
Yeah. Because that's pretty, we should actually just do it.
Like, yeah, we should do a traveling episode too there. It's not very far.
In Gettysburg? Oh my god. Gettysburg, so yeah, many good stories in Gettysburg.
Day trip. But of course, the Union won the battle, and they think that if the Union would not have won the battle in Crampton's Gap, that they might not have won Antietam, and that was a big battle for turning the war in the Union's favor, so another alternate history there, and not so much of a good alternate history.
That's where the timeline is.
But the current most famous thing about Burkittsville is that it is the setting of the Blair Witch Project movie, which came out in 1999, and all the following movies also, of course, take place there. But we're actually going 50 minutes from Burkittsville to Seneca Creek Park, which is in Gaithersburg, off of, and like one entrance to the park is off of Clopper Road, which, fun fact for all my country music people, yay, and just internet music people since it's a meme, but that road is the inspiration for Take Me Home Country Roads. Yeah, it's not about West Virginia. It's about Clopper Road, Gaithersburg, Maryland.
Yeah. Heck yeah. Woo! It's our song now.
It is our song.
This episode is just a big, it's sponsored by Mail.
Yeah, this episode is sponsored by Mail. So, we're specifically going to be talking about a location called Coffin Rock or Coffin Hill in Seneca Creek Park. And you can, there was like a little like Reddit post that gave directions on how to get there. There's some people said they followed it and they could not find it. I don't know. I didn't do it. I would do it, but that's a bit of a drive just to not be able to find it. I would like to know where I'm going to make that drive. But we're going to travel back to 1886, where an 8-year-old child was doing 8-year-old child things back then and wandering off as they love to do, right? An 8-year-old child back then, they're going to get lost and they're going to get tuberculosis.
And stick a pole.
Yeah, and they're gonna chase their rock around with a stick. He must have chased his rock around with a stick a little bit too far and wandered off into the woods of Seneca Creek. Well, the search party was sent out for him because he didn't come home. And when you would expect the search party to come back, the child came back alone. And there are a few versions of the story that say that the child saw a floating figure in the woods that looked like an older woman when he was fleeing the woods. And as I said, the search party didn't come back. So a second search party was sent out to find the first one. And what they stumbled across was the entire first search party murdered.
Wow.
They were killed, disemboweled, and their hands and feet were tied together in a pentagram. There's also some versions of the story that say that they had, like, engravings on them that, you know, would be of a ritualistic manner, and that some of them, like, didn't have their blood, and et cetera, et cetera. Lots of different embellishments, but I think the most realistic one would be just the disembowelment and the attached at the hands
and
arms.
Let's be realistic.
Let's be realistic here. The symbols, whatever.
The symbols are blood.
If someone gave me 5 hours, I could maybe disembowel a couple people, you know. But drain the blood?
Nah.
Oh, yeah. But
that's gonna
cost
you extra.
Yeah. Like, a good bit of people bound, like, you would think disemboweled, maybe a bear. There's bears out there, right? We're bear country. But tied together. Last time I checked, bears do not tie people together. So, a person or entity was responsible for this.
True.
And when they went back to get authorities to help because the second search party did not have enough people to carry back all the bodies were gone.
Yep.
Yeah, everything was gone. And so, people were like, what's the cause? And I will say, no one cited the Blair Witch, because I'm going to say this, the Blair Witch was not real. But we did get a follow-up to the Coffin Rock Massacre in the year 2000.
Ooh. 1 year before.
Wow, there must be a connection, huh?
On April 27th of 2000, the Baltimore Sun printed an article which was about the Coffin Rock Massacre. And I'm going to read you guys the title. Witchcrafted, Julia Fair made up an entire history for the Blair Witch Project, complete with yellowed documents and paraphernalia. The internet was very convinced that the Coffin Rock Massacre was a real thing that happened, was the only true part of the Blair Witch Project and the lore of Burkittsville. But that's just how much effort Julia Fair put into making the lore for this project was that she faked documents. It wasn't real. No one was
that's
killed
crazy,
there.
Man.
The only real battle that happened anywhere in that region was Crampton's Gap.
Okay.
That is the only bloodied event.
Okay, so I was planning on doing my dissertation on...
Well, you better change your subject.
Your thesis is due in 2 weeks.
Okay, I just started, so it's okay.
So, yeah, no, completely fake, which, you know, all the other parts of the Blair Witch Project, you know, and especially, like, when you, like, get into the later movies, all that stuff, yeah, it's obviously far-fetched. But that one was a little bit more realistic, you know.
Yeah.
That one, as I said, there are many, many websites and, like, more official-seeming websites that are extremely convinced and will state that it was real. It was not real. I even have a quote from Fair. There are no Black Hill Forests for anyone to disappear in, no earlier town called Blair, no missing children or filmmakers, and no witch.
Wow.
When the movie came out, the Historical Society received over 300 requests to see documents and books cited in the movies or its accompanying website, and they had to craft a form denying the Blair Witch artifacts even existed in their archives.
Wow.
That's how much of a big deal. People, to this day, will go to Burkittsville, and they will, like, harass the locals, and they will steal the Welcome to Burkittsville sign. So they had to change the sign, like, 3 times. And...
people can't take a joke.
Yeah, people can't take a joke. I mean, she did a really, really good job. I mean, a lot of it's
convincing. Very convincing, because for the longest time, I thought the Blair Witch was, like, a real, like, thing for Maryland. Because, like, at the beginning of the movie, she does all the interviews with, like, the locals, and they're like, oh, yeah, I think I've seen the Blair Witch. Like, it feels very candid, but it's
all of
that
was filmed
fake.
In Germantown.
That's crazy.
I've seen the Blair Witch.
Yeah, she's my neighbor.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So I will say to give a little credit to the Coffin Rock Massacre as, who knows, maybe it was real.
Yeah.
When she says there were no missing children, that is actually likely a reference to the 7 kids murdered by Rustin Parr, which was actually an anagram for Rasputin when she was creating his name for the movie, and not about the missing Coffin Rock child. So there is actually no statement on her saying... Specifically, everything else has a statement, but there was no statement stating that the Coffin Rock Massacre was fabricated. So.
What does she know that we don't?
Yeah, what does this woman know? I mean,
I don't know.
If you're so inclined, I guess you could contact historical societies in Burkittsville. I don't recommend
yeah.
you do that. Leave them alone.
They're probably, like, really tired. No, it's not real.
How does she yell those documents?
I mean, did you never do that for, like, a school project in, like, middle school?
No.
You, like, you can put tea bags on them, make them look real cute. You crinkle up the paper
that's
a little bit.
That's much more sanitary.
What were you going to do? Don't say it.
No.
Yeah, what were you going to do?
No, I think we all know what she was going to do.
I think.
She was going to drink the photography
fluid. Oh, okay. See, that one's still wild to me. Photography fluid?
That's an emo way to go.
That is a terrible way to go. That is gonna burn. That is gonna be so much pain. It's not gonna be quick either.
No,
it's gonna take a while. You're gonna vomit. You're just gonna die horribly.
What are you gonna go for? Developer? What else is there? It's been so long since I've seen photography. Fixer? Stop bath? Which one? Ooh, the stop bath?
You know, I am very sad and disappointed that the Blair Witch isn't real, just because for my own enjoyment. I wish we had a witch.
I
want a witch.
Yeah, that would be great. And I'm sure there are some viewers out there. Please let us know if you know any real witch stories. Please not, at least, or you can't find anything that says pretty much explicitly that it was fabricated. I'll believe it as long as someone does not explicitly say, I made it up. I'm the one who did it.
I
still want to believe the Coffin Rock Massacre, though, because
it's
cool. A little different. That's why I didn't like the part where they said that the kids saw the woman floating. No, I liked it without that. I felt it was better.
I thought that was cool.
That's a little more Blair Witch Project.
But that's classic witch is being able to
float around
because
be an old woman in the woods.
Yeah, when you sell your soul, because in the medieval.
I was going to say, whoa, is this like a thing? If I sell my soul, can I float? Because done deal.
Yeah, so the way it worked, or at least how they expressed it in like medieval times about witches, is that you would sell your soul to the devil, and the devil would give you powers such as being able to fly. Okay. Typically, they'd have like grimoires. Actually, oh, yes. If you want to get an interesting thing about witches, is that the origin of the broomstick, it was not always a broomstick, and it was not always written the way we think it's supposed to be written, yeah, with the flares in the back. It's actually supposed to be written the other way, because in a lot of early depictions, they put candles in the top part.
Oh, that sounds like a fire hazard.
I know, right?
They'd also sometimes just write on poles,
too. I mean, honestly, first witch spell, you need fucking candles, bro. That's fucking embarrassing. You need fucking illumination or something.
Well, maybe they're new to this.
They fly, but you can fly?
They're new to it.
Like, okay, I learned how to fly first. You can't even
their other
on
witch
your
buddies are
first.
Trying to teach them.
That's true.
Also, I think classic witches are naked. I feel like that's woo-hoo. I feel like that's ultimate freedom.
Yeah.
Like, people back then would be like, that's, you know, they're insane. Evil temptresses. But to us today, we're like, that's freedom, man. Yeah,
freedom. And to, like, not be cold or anything and just, like, be naked all the time.
That's like all their spells. Roof. Yeah. Like popping your roof off your roof.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that concludes our first episode. Yay! Yay. That was fun.
Thank you so much for listening, guys. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
What were we thinking for that? We had discussed our second episode, so maybe we could give a little sneak peek about what it was. Was it bridges next?
Yes, I know I would like to talk about crybaby bridges.
Yeah, so we were thinking we're going to do some haunted bridges, because there are a lot of haunted bridges in the United States. Though we don't have to stick to the United States, we can also go outside of that. But yes. I think maybe for the second one, we'll stick to the United States.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We can always talk about Goatman's Bridge. That's a classic one.
Goatman.
Yeah, so thank you guys for listening. We hope you enjoyed it, and we will, make some more episodes for you guys.
All right.
Outro music.